Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to be diving into some NBA as the Phoenix Suns have taken a commanding 2-0 lead over the Milwaukee Bucks. Do the Bucks have enough with Giannis, Drew Holiday, Brooke Lopez to come back in the series? We will discuss. We also will be talking some Wimbledon as Roger Federer gets smoked in the quarterfinals by Hurkacz. 3-0. Is this the last we've seen of Roger Federer? We'll also be previewing the fight this weekend as McGregor takes on Poirier for the third time. This is a deciding match to see who will be crowned champion. Lots to discuss. Let's get into it. So first of all, before I get into this NBA segment, I'm currently in Denver right now. I've been visiting the family for the last few days, going out to dinners, went to Red Rocks the other night. Every time I come to Denver, I swear, I'm always like, I'm probably not going to come back. Denver's too awesome. My dad is originally from Denver, so he moved to Illinois for school. That's how I met my mom, so that's why we're in the Chicago area. But you know, every time I'm like, Dad, why'd you leave Denver? He's always just like, Not really sure, son. I mean, he loves it in the Chicago area, but, you know, every time we come out to Denver, it's so beautiful. We have such awesome family out here. So it's cool to do my first Riddle Me That podcast in the great state of Colorado. So this is a little Mountain West gang right here, time-wise. But getting into the basketball, it's been a wild ride for these two teams, the Phoenix Suns, Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks haven't won since 1971 with Kareem. Suns have never won in general. So, you know, this was the first, you know, out of the four teams that were left, you know, with the Atlanta Hawks, the Bucks, the Clippers, and the Suns, nobody had won a championship or had been part of a championship until, you know, and besides the Bucks, 1971. So this is like the first, you know, kind of like free-for-all, you know, winner-take-all series where he's like, no one really knows who's going to win. But the Phoenix Suns have come out on top as clear favorites before the series started. Chris Paul is on a mission. He's never won NBA Finals. He's been in the league for 16 years. You know, he's, if anyone deserves a championship, it is Chris Paul. You know, growing up, I wasn't always the biggest Chris Paul fan. He talked a lot of smack. You know, was always hitting daggers against my team. So obviously now I respect him more. Still, you know, just joining the Phoenix Suns and teaming up with Devin Booker. You know, those two have combined for like an insane amount of points in the finals. They're one of like the, you know, already one of the greatest backcourts we've seen scoring-wise. I mean, these guys are ridiculous. Devin Booker has emerged into a superstar. DeAndre Ayton as well. Maybe not a superstar, but he will be. You know, he's been putting up crazy numbers. On the Milwaukee Bucks side, it's kind of been, you know, it's been a weird last couple weeks with Giannis being hurt, but now he's back. I mean, when Giannis hyperextended his knee last series against the Hawks, I mean, nobody thought he was going to play. I mean, it looked terrible. I'm like, this guy might be out for a year at least. But here he is a week later, put 42 points yesterday with 13, 14 rebounds. So Giannis isn't the problem, but it's the lack of depth right now. Chris Middleton, you know, not really showing up. Brooke Lopez had a pretty good first game, but didn't really do much the last game. So it's like, how are the Bucks going to adjust to the Suns now that they're down 2-0? I mean, Phoenix looking pretty comfortable on their home floor. But we've seen this before. The Bucks have already come back from a 2-0 deficit against the Brooklyn Nets. The Clippers have done did it twice this postseason, coming back from 2-0 down. So it's especially with the finals home court format changing. So usually it goes 2-2, 1-1-1. Now it goes 2-3-2. So the Bucks have a few chances right now, you know, to get back in the series. But the Suns are playing with so much confidence. You know, Mikal Bridges with 25 points yesterday. I mean, if they're getting production from those players, it's going to be super tough for the Bucks to make a run. if I were to make a prediction, I mean, I know the Suns are up 2-0. It's not much saying that they're going to win the series. But I thought before the series started that the Suns had the clear advantage. And I think it'd be shocking if they blew this series. I think there's just too much going on with, you know, Chris Paul trying to get his first championship, Booker emerging as one of the league's best superstars. I think the Suns are in control. I think the Bucks will make it interesting at home. I think teams always do. Going back home, they're obviously going to give their best effort against. I mean, this is the last chance. I think Giannis is going to go off. But they're going to need other guys. They're going to need Brooke Lopez to dominate inside. They're going to need Drew Holiday and Middleton to come up huge. Basically, the big four of Middleton, Holiday, Lopez, and Giannis are going to have the best games of their life to even have a chance with how good Phoenix is playing right now. Just listening to their in-game huddles with their amazing coach, Monty Williams, this team's in sync. This team is on a mission. I mean, I had no idea that this Chris Paul signing would have such an impact on this team. But I think just, you know, having a guy like that, having a guy that wants to win, you know, with how talented he is, just makes it so everyone plays better. He gets everybody involved. I mean, he gets like 10 assists a game. It's ridiculous. And he also doesn't miss mid-rangers. Does not miss mid-range numbers. He's a cheat code from inside the arc. He also can drain threes. And, you know, and it just makes it easy for Devin Booker to go off. I mean, you almost like, it's like, who do you, it's like, pick your poison. Booker, Paul, Booker. I mean, I don't know how you guard that. It's pretty unbelievable. And then you get production from guys, like I said before, Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton. It's a pretty unstoppable team. So I think the Suns might lose a game, but I'm predicting either a 4-0, 4-1. I would love to say Suns in four. That's the trend these days. But I think the Suns have this in four or five games. But, you know, just to give credit to all these teams, I mean, the fact that Milwaukee, you know, they've gotten a lot of flack for not making it to the finals the last few years, and they finally have done it. It's not a losing season for them. Obviously, they might say it is. You know, they want to win a championship, but losing into a finals against a legendary Chris Paul team, you can't, you know, fault yourselves too much. And, you know, I feel bad even acting like the series, though. The series is not over. You know, the Bucks are going to try to prove me wrong on Sunday, but for the time being, Suns are in control. I've loved what I've seen from them as a team, you know, individually. They're going to be a tough team to beat. Bucks are going to have a miracle to win this series. I want to talk some Wimbledon. Not a lot of tennis talked on the Riddle Me That podcast. Ironically enough that I am a tennis instructor and I've been doing it for the last 2 years, so there should be more tennis content on this pod, and I apologize for that for all you tennis fanatics out there. But, you know, a lot of times in tennis, there's not a lot of, besides in a Grand Slam, a lot of major events going on. And when there is a Grand Slam going on, it's usually, you know, it's Djokovic, Nadal, Federer. And so you know what the ending result is probably going to be. But in this case, I'm a huge Federer fan, Fed for life. You know, he's come back from a lot of injuries, still playing at, you know, almost 40, probably in the best shape of his life. Well, I don't know if that's true, but the fact that he's still able to play, he must be in, you know, one of the best shapes of his life, because if you're playing at 40 against 20-year-olds who are in their prime, you know, or, you know, somewhere mid-20s, it's pretty unbelievable. You don't see it done every day. You wouldn't know Federer was 40 from the way he plays. That being said, Federer making it to yet another quarterfinal. I believe he's played in, you know, over 100 major quarterfinals, which is absurd. And I kind of want to, you know, so Federer, big news, loses in straight sets to Hurkacz. Probably should have beat Hurkacz, but, you know, wasn't feeling it. Didn't have it the other day. Hurkacz played very well. Not like Federer to lose in straight sets in a quarterfinal. But it's so funny. Everyone's like, you know, is Fed done? Is this his last tournament? It's ridiculous because Roger Federer, the fact that he's casually making it to a major quarterfinal, most people, you know, reaching a major quarterfinal, which is, you know, a Grand Slam tournament. So Wimbledon, U.S. Open, Australian Open, French Open. If you make one of those, you know, that's a lifetime achievement. Federer does it casually. He does it in his sleep. And so when he loses one of these, everyone's like, oh, like, he sucks now. If you're saying he sucks because, you know, he's losing, you know, he wins four or five rounds in a tournament, and then he loses, you know, to a player that's ranked 15th in the world, I mean, you're nuts. You obviously don't know the game of tennis. Federer has, you know, for men's, the most Grand Slams ever. I believe he has 21. And the fact that, you know, people are just shitting on him, the fact that he's even here right now is unbelievable. That guy works so hard on and off the court. He's a gentleman of the game. It just doesn't make sense to me that people just assume that he's done because he loses one match. He even said after his match, he's like, I have no plans to retire. I don't know what my future is, but just because I lost that match doesn't mean I'm done. So obviously, you know, the focus turns, all right, Djokovic is going to win again, going to win his 20th title. And he, you know, he probably will. You know, he's playing Denis Shapovalov right now. Djokovic actually won the first set 7-6. Shapovalov should have won the first set. It was up 5-4, 30-all, missed a chippy. But that's going to be a very close match, but Djokovic probably will end up winning. But that being said, you know, it is true. Djokovic is the mainstream tennis guy right now. He's the GOAT right now. And, you know, I don't think, honestly, if Federer got matched up against Joker, that he would be able to beat him. The way Djokovic is playing right now, I think a tougher opponent would be someone like Berrettini, who is going to meet whoever wins the match between Djokovic and Shapovalov in the semi, as Berrettini beat Hurkacz in four sets this morning. Berrettini looks unstoppable right now. Well, it's funny because you might look unstoppable against one person, and then you play someone like Djokovic, and you're like, crap, you know, my world gets shrunk a little bit. You know, you get humbled. So it's going to be interesting to see how this tournament ends up. But regardless of who wins this, Federer, you know, always going to be the GOAT, in my mind at least. You know, he's proven to us that, you know, the fact that you can work that hard, stay that composed and confident throughout your entire career and still be able to play at the age of 40, it's unbelievable. I don't care what everybody says. Federer is the GOAT. Federer can do what he wants. You know, he doesn't have to explain himself. It's not his job to explain himself to the media and us tennis fans in the world. I love you, Fed. You did your best. We'll get back out there in the Australian.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
My riddle's rant of the week. It's kind of old. You know, I didn't talk about this on the last pod, and I meant to. But I want to take a shot at the NCAA, especially going towards the NC State Wolfpack, the College World Series happening a week ago, and NC State not being able to be a part of it because of COVID. You know, two players got COVID that weren't vaccinated on the team. Ironically enough, the two players that weren't got it. Ended up only having 13 guys going because of the COVID spread among the team. And the NCAA, you know, just takes them out of the tournament. You know, they have enough guys to play. You know, you can send those other guys away. But they just disqualify NC State. They're one game away from the championship. And they just get stripped. And it makes no sense because they're playing in a stadium in Omaha where no one's wearing masks. It's a full stadium. No one has to get, you know, vaccinated to get in the stadium. It's a free-for-all. But unfortunately, the team, you know, who the guys who are, you know, quarantined after being COVID and everybody else testing positive to get in, aren't able to have a chance, and the season's just done. They're, you know, they were an underdog team. They had a lot of momentum. I could have seen them winning the whole thing. But no, they're stripped from their title or the chance to win a title, just like that. You know, and no one has a say. And it just goes to how corrupt NCAA is. You know, they're an organization that, you know, they make a lot of actions without any explanations. And they're basically like, yeah, we don't have to explain ourselves. You know, we're in charge. We're going to do what we want. So who knows what's going on behind the scenes with the NCAA? I know what's going on, a bunch of corrupt shit. That's what's going on. And so the fact that, you know, COVID has been, you know, it's been on its way out. You know, things are starting to get back to normal. But then all of a sudden it's like, oh, nope, COVID comes into play. This team can't play. It's like, whoa, like I haven't seen, you know, watching the NBA finals, watching baseball, there hasn't been that many COVID cases, if any. If anything, the only thing that's happening now is people getting suspended for you using that sticky substance, you know, all those pitchers. Now, it's crazy how pretty much every inning now, a pitcher has to show, you know, the umpire, their glove, their mitt, their belt. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's what the MLB is now with, you know, people using foreign substances and whatnot. But ultimately, back to NCAA, it's bullshit. NC State got robbed. Nothing else to it. NCAA deserved to pay.
G4 Spotlight of the Week.
My G4 spot of the week. I'm taking it to the UFC match on Saturday. Poirier against McGregor. That's going to be like must-watch TV. I mean, you haven't seen it in a while where McGregor wins the first fight, Poirier knocks his ass out in the second fight, and now they're going for a third fight. They're going for round three. All in a pretty short amount of time. And this time, it's like, okay, this is like, because everyone's like, oh, McGregor's done, you know, after losing to Poirier. And it's like, okay, McGregor, who knows what's going to happen in this next fight? I have no idea. McGregor is now an underdog. I mean, he's an underdog against Poirier. He's like plus 130. I have never seen McGregor even come close to an underdog unless you take the DraftKings boost for, you know, plus 150 for anybody. So, you know, everyone's an underdog because they just want you to bet on the fight. But he's actually an underdog in this fight. And you just got to believe that McGregor's going to take him down this time. I mean, Poirier looks confident, but I just don't see McGregor losing twice in a row to the same guy. I mean, this is going to, I mean, if he loses this, he's done. This is it for McGregor. I mean, that's the way UFC fighting goes. You can be the best in the world, and all of a sudden you lose 2-3 fights, it's over. Because everyone's like, oh, the guy's washed. You know, someone else is going to take his throne. I am so intrigued to see who comes out on top in that fight. I don't really care who wins. You know, I'm not, you know, a huge UFC guy. But when there's a big fight like that, I'm definitely all in. I definitely want to see, you know, I'm definitely rooting for McGregor. I'm not a big fan of Poirier. He kind of looks like a douche. I mean, McGregor's a douche too. But, you know, McGregor is McGregor. He's... You know, he was kind of the face of UFC for the last 10 years. I mean, he's kind of like, you know, everyone knows Conor McGregor. Everyone loves him, you know, for his fighting. You know, a lot of it, you know, a lot of his, like, you know, his tactics are all, you know, for attention, media attention. And he has gotten into some trouble off the mats. Some questionable, you know, assault charges against him. I think they were dropped. I'm not sure exactly. Don't quote me on that. But he's obviously fighting right now, so I think they were, you know, but he has gotten accused of some things. He got a couple of bar fights. But he's an Irishman. He's a Peaky Blinder, for crying out loud. So you can't, you know, I'm not talking about the assault charges against him, but for the bar fight, I mean, I'm not too worried about that. Those guys are animals anyway. I don't care. You know, if I'm watching a fight, I'm not going to care what that guy was up to in a bar. So I'm all in on this fight. I'm probably, you know, I'm taking McGregor. I'm definitely tagging him. You know, I don't really know too much about Poirier besides the last fight. But, you know, he's American. I couldn't give two shits. McGregor all the way. Must see TV. Everybody be tuning in. My flick of the week this week. I'm taking it to a 90s classic. Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Spacey. Seven. Seven is... It's a blockbuster, you know, homicide detectives, Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, trying to solve the murder of, you know, a guy that, you know, each murder is one of these, like, seven deadly sins, and, you know, he's one of those, you know, characters that, like, almost want to be caught, and so he's, like, you know, making it so, like, each kill he makes, it's one of the sins, and, you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, what his next move is. It's really intense and dark throughout, but you know, you keep thinking, you're like, who's this killer? You know, what's his motive? Obviously, it's the seven deadly sins, but why is he doing it? You're like, is this guy truly, you know, as messed up as it looks out to be? You know, is someone getting framed? It's one of, you know, it's a homicide classic where, you know, you're on the side of the detectives and, you know, you're kind of just seeing how they investigate the situation. You know, it's a little slow at times, not trying to draw you away, but, you know, it's one of those things where you have to dive into it, give it, you know, 20-30 minutes to, you know, evolve as a movie, but super well done. You know, I was, you know, for a 90s movie, it was like so clear in picture. I don't know if that's just the TVs we use these days, but I was thoroughly impressed. I never saw it until the other week, so I was really impressed with it. It's a true classic. You can't go wrong. Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, Kevin Spacey just thrown in there. I mean, it's a pretty good cast right there. I'm such a cast whore. You know, if I see a good cast, I'm probably going to watch it, even if it ends up being shit. So, but this movie, not shit. Highly encourage you to watch Seven. Maybe with a friend, though. You know, it's not like a horror movie, but definitely some intense scenes. You know, definitely some graphic images. So, get some popcorn, grab a friend, watch Seven. You won't regret it. My bet of the week this week. I'm going with the hometown boys, the Chicago White Sox, -1.5, +120. Against the Orioles. The Orioles are trash. I know, you know, Keuchel for the White Sox, not my favorite guy to take a 1.5 spread, The Sox have been hot. They've been playing, you know, down many guys due to injuries, but you know they look good the last. I've been riding on the last couple games. I've actually been betting on the White Sox probably every game they've played. So last weekend was rough against Detroit. You know, not a good showing. First game against Minnesota, but won the last two. They look good. Offense is clicking again. Sox can get, you know, with this good record they have, they are streaky, but they are trending in the right direction right now. Orioles, not a good team at all. I would take losing my money against the Orioles. White Sox 1.5, great odds, plus 120. Hammer it. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. This is my first ever Denver edition on the podcast. Literally doing this podcast, looking at the mountains right now. So super cool experience for me. Hopefully it's not my last. It's the weekend. Everybody enjoy yourselves. It's going to be a hot one. So get that suntan lotion. Get those drinks on. Everyone deserves it. I hope everyone has a great couple days. I'll see you guys next week. Riddle Daddy, he's out.